Hey everybody, welcome back to Dollar Dollar Bills, a way of life to build personal wealth and financial freedom. I wanted to talk to you guys this week about something that's come up with one of my clients, but also, you know, I've thought about it over the years with, you know, talking to people, having my own experience as I have my own pets, and this new kind of concept of pet insurance. And trying to weigh, as most insurance-based discussions and products tend to be, there is complexity, there are assumptions, there is a whole, you know, cost-benefit analysis that I think everyone should do at every level of insurance, and depending on if it's car, home, medical, dental, etc. I think all of them require their own specific deep dive and analysis to make sure that, one, you need it, and two, you have the right level of insurance, because in some cases it can be catastrophic financially to you if you don't have the right insurance. I don't personally think pet insurance is at that catastrophic level if you weren't to have it or to have your pets covered, but I do think it's becoming more and more common for pet owners to opt in to pet insurance. There's a lot more options out there today. And I'll kind of go through everything that I've found related to pet insurance to kind of give you guys some facts and figures so you can do your own, take this information, put it into your own unique situation, and ultimately determine, you know, is it worth getting pet insurance for my situation, for my current pets? Or can I just, you know, keep a healthy enough emergency savings, which I want you guys to do anyways, but keep enough of that available to you just in case something were to happen. And, you know, as I'm thinking for this specific client, she has a very unique situation where it's not just like one cat and one dog. It is like animals on property, horses, goats, chickens even, and dogs and cats. So that situation, again, is very unique. So I say that to just point out that this is still a very, I don't want to give you guys a broad sweeping recommendation in terms of pet insurance. And again, I do think it's evolved kind of over the years in a way that is more cost effective for those who are purchasing it. And with the costs of treatments, both wellness, preventative, you know, vaccinations and the like, just going in, you know, doing in-office visits for your dogs mostly, and maybe cats if they're outdoor cats, but also, you know, illnesses that are either hereditary or come up over time, expected or unexpected, injuries that come up over time, expected or unexpected, those costs are tending to increase with everything else as we know it in the economy. So it's starting to almost make more sense to opt in for that pet insurance. And, you know, similarly to, you know, other types of insurance, you hope you don't have to use it, but it might be a good thing for you, especially given the, you know, maybe amount of animals that you have, the type of animals you have, the situation around your animals, are they outdoor, indoor, the age of your animals, gender, location, so on and so forth. There's a lot of things that go into play here in terms of ultimately your costs. So I just wanted to do a whole episode on this. I think it's interesting. And I just tried to pull together some numbers again, some verbiage around what pet insurance is and what you guys can see in terms of common terms when you're looking for pet insurance and when you're trying to compare. And then just generally what I'm seeing financially in terms of what it would cost out of pocket for certain pretty common illnesses and injuries, and then, you know, versus what I'm seeing on average for pet insurance costs. And again, ultimately, you guys need to look at your own unique situation and determine, you know, what the best path is for you. I know personally, I have two cats. They're indoor cats. I actually don't take them to the vet very often. They are not fully up to date on their vaccines. However, they have gotten vaccinated over the years because I have taken them to the vet a number of times. My youngest had ear mites when she was really young, and so we've had to take her in a few times for that. They've both been neutered and or spayed. They have not been declawed, so I used to take them in to get their claws clipped, and I since learned how to do it myself. So I outsourced some of the vet bill to myself. But I will say my oldest cat, who is a loving, cuddly little boy, and he's super sweet and great, he had really, really bad breath for a long time. And I thought he just was a cat who was fat and ate a lot of food that didn't smell good. And come to find out, they had to extract about 5 teeth, probably like 3 or 4 years ago. So that was over $1,000 bill. Luckily, I had the financial means to easily pay it. And we really haven't had any big bills since then. But I think for me, that was more of a slap on the wrist from a preventative standpoint. I didn't realize that dental was important for cats. And so you can go in and get them dental cleanings once or twice, or I guess once every year or once every 2 years, depending on, you know, what the risk is that you feel like it is for your cat. But, you know, doing that is $100, maybe $200 max a year or every 2 years, rather than having to pay for extractions and, you know, putting them under and all that. So I think that's just a specific example of, I don't have pet insurance. I've never had pet insurance. I have cats that are indoor cats. I don't think I need pet insurance. But, you know, your situation could look very different from mine. You also may not want to pad your savings to support the bills that you might be seeing. And I do know dogs are, at least from my understanding, because I've had dogs growing up, but I've never had to pay for dogs. They are, you know, more costly. They do require, you know, vet trips for various things, preventative and wellness, so on and so forth. So it is, again, something I think to consider depending on the type of animal you have, the number of animals you have, and your liquid savings on top of that. I will also give one other example. When I think it was probably 15 or 20 years ago. So we had a cat, Bobby. It was my family cat, and my mom was really close to Bobby. He was similar to my cat that I have now, Tigger. And he was a very sweet cat. He was about 3 years old. And we think, we still don't even know what actually happened to him, but we think he may have ingested or ate floss. And we think, again, when he consumed it, it didn't come out, and it was either slicing up some of his insides or not sitting well or not, you know, digesting things properly. And it impacted his internals. So my parents actually did extensive testing and tried everything that they could because of his age, because he was so young and my mom was so attached to him. I think they spent somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 on him. So again, pet insurance wasn't even really a thing back then. It's definitely become more common and more popular, you know, as of late, and I'll give you some numbers on that. But again, another example to point out that, you know, things happen and you don't know, similar to any situation that requires insurance, you never know when you're going to need it. You never know how much you're going to end up needing, you know, based on the illness or the injury, so on and so forth. Especially with an indoor cat, there is a general assumption that they are going to stay safe and healthy for the most part, for most of their lives. So, you know, that being said, I just wanted to share some real life examples that happened in my life to give you guys a sense of, you know, when you look at your unique situation, what could be worst case scenario, best case scenario, and then ultimately use that information to make a decision. So like I had mentioned, there's some data from 2022 stating that, you know, right now about a year ago in 2022, nearly 4 million cats and dogs are insured in the US. This has doubled actually since 2017. So like I said, I think that the reason that it's gaining traction, we're still not hitting a lot of the animals that are in the US, and there's still a lot more that are uninsured, but it is gaining traction again due to the fact that a lot of these costs are, you know, both preventative and when things happen, injury and illness wise, are increasing kind of, you know, year over year. And with those increases and with, you know, kind of new to the market and new in the market pet insurance options, and I feel like there's more every day, and I'll list some of them at the end of this episode that I found are seem to be pretty good. Also, I'll list out the top three I'm seeing. You know, it seems to be that people are opting in more and more these days for pet insurance, and it seems to be kind of a better option. So just on average, it costs about $35 a month for dogs and about $28 a month for cats for insurance. And I'll break down kind of what some of those, how that can vary and fluctuate. And then I'll break down what are some of the big terms that you need to be aware of, because most of the insurance plans will cover these terms, and those terms are going to dictate how much you're paying, you know, at a deductible level, how much you're paying at a premium, so at a cost per month, and then how much you'll, you know, eventually pay possibly for the resulting bill that you're going to get from your vet. So again, going back to some of those costs just for insurance, on average, the cost for a puppy, if you're looking at, and I'll explain what this means here in a minute, but if you're looking at $5,000 of max coverage, it's about $34 a month. Again, these are average numbers. And then all the way up to unlimited coverage, so a maximum coverage of that's unlimited, is about $51 a month. For dogs, so just older puppies, the $5,000 max coverage is about $35 a month, again on average, and the unlimited max coverage is about $56 a month. And then finally for cats, the $5,000 max coverage is about $28 a month, and the unlimited is around $50 a month. So again, that's the first term I wanted to kind of jump into with you guys. So annual maximum coverage. Basically what this means is it's how much your pet insurance plan is going to pay or will pay according to the plan that you're signing up for the year. So many offer choices between that $5,000 that I mentioned before and unlimited. And then of course, you know, the more coverage you have, the higher your premium is going to be. So obviously I already shared some numbers with you. You could see that the unlimited coverage has a higher monthly bill than the $5,000 a year coverage. Another term to consider is a deductible. So a deductible, similar to health insurance, similar to car insurance, similar to home insurance, you see it almost in every insurance capacity, is basically what you pay out of pocket before your insurance kicks in. So again, it's the same concept. It acts similarly that it would in terms of any kind of insurance that you have or you opt in for. The deductibles are typically lower, and again, just because overall costs, healthcare costs that you're gonna potentially incur are usually lower. So it'll range anywhere from $100 to $250 up to $500. So once you meet your deductible, then typically you can start submitting your vet bills to your pet insurance provider for reimbursement. What I'm also reading, because like I said, I don't have pet insurance, is it seems like most plans do a reimbursement method where you have to pay out of pocket up front and then you get reimbursed on the back end. So, you know, some of you may be familiar with that in other aspects of your insurance life, but essentially, you know, it's a little unfortunate because you're still having to pay out of pocket up front, do some work to get that money back on the back end. But hopefully you guys have incentive to do that because you are paying for that insurance. So then the third term I wanted to touch on quickly is the reimbursement percentage. So typical choices for that are 70%, 80%, 90%. This, in my opinion, is similar to coinsurance. So when you think coinsurance, basically you could have X amount of medical costs or medical bills for X type of procedure, X type of in-office visit, X type of emergency room visit, and your coinsurance dictates what percentage the insurance will pay and then what percentage you are responsible for. So again, if they'll pay or reimburse 70%, you're responsible for 30%, 90%, you're responsible for 10%. So again, that it's similar in my opinion to coinsurance, but basically it's a reimbursement percentage that's associated with your plan. Typically, the lower the reimbursement level, the less you'll pay in premiums. So, which makes sense, because if you're paying higher premiums, you probably want or expect your insurance company to be paying more on the back end because you're paying higher premiums. Some of the different types of coverage plans I wanted to touch on quickly here. So the first one is a comprehensive coverage, and I think this is really cute. It's a nose to tail policy is what some refer to this type of coverage as. But basically what it does is it covers accidents, injuries, including serious or chronic illness, hereditary conditions, diagnostic tests, surgeries, treatments, and wellness type of checkups and vaccinations, so on and so forth. So it will cover basically anything your pet needs, and that includes preventative, which is nice. Some of these other plans don't cover preventative, but it does seem that, you know, from a pet wellness coverage perspective, you can pretty much tack those on to any of these other ones as necessary. And it's actually the fourth one I was going to talk about. So pet wellness only coverage does only cover routine and preventative type activities and vet bills. But again, if you have that, or if you don't have that and you have one of these other two, you can always tack this on, and then it becomes more comprehensive coverage that I just touched on with the nose to tail policy. Additionally, you also have accident and illness coverage. So that's kind of like a tier below, I would call it a tier below the comprehensive coverage. So that's all vet bills for accidents and illnesses, including common illnesses, hereditary conditions, and serious illnesses. So think like cancer. But you're not covered here under this type of plan for wellness exams, routine visits, anything preventative, or what you would think of as like general wellness. The third one is accident-only coverage. So again, pretty straightforward. It only covers accident-related issues or, you know, medical bills, but not illnesses related, or not medical bills related to illness. So it takes the illness out and it covers only accident. And then again, the last one was, you know, that pet wellness coverage, which again only covers the preventative, the routine, the normal visits that you have to go into make sure your pet's healthy and maintains a, you know, proper proactive health throughout their life. But those are typically ones you can add on to some of these other ones pretty easily and in a straightforward manner. And also your costs aren't going to increase too much. I did also want to touch on, because I know there's so many types of insurance out there, and typically they do all have some kind of discounts. I'm a big discount queen when I look at home insurance, when I look at car insurance. I think it's a little bit harder once you look at, you know, medical insurance and things for humans, but there are, you know, possible pet insurance discounts. So I just wanted to name a few for you guys so you can keep a lookout for them if you are looking for insurance. It's always nice to get a little discount. So the first one is multi-pet. So again, think when you bundle car and home, or, you know, renter's insurance and home, or, you know, all of those in life, various combinations. But basically the more pets you have, there are opportunities to combine that into a multi-pet discount. Spay and neuter discount. So basically if your pet is spayed or neutered, you could get a discount for that. So that's pretty awesome. I think it also is a nice incentive to keeping our shelters not housed with a ton of animals and overpopulating them. So I'm personally in favor of that type of discount. The annual pay discount. So you've seen this probably elsewhere, where you can either pay month to month or you can pay for the whole year. And typically they'll give you a discount for paying for that whole year up front. Military discount. So if you're in the military, you can get discounts there. And then possible, because I don't know of any employer that does this right now, but group discounts through your employer. So if your employer does offer pet insurance, potentially you can kind of lump it with the other insurance that they offer and potentially get a 10 or 15%, you know, percent discount based on that. So I think, you know, the big question now that you guys know some of the information, some of the terms, some of the coverage, is it worth it? And how do I know if it's worth it? And what are the things I should look into to determine if it's worth it for me in my personal scenario? So I do want to say, when I was looking into this further, I did read that 4 out of 5 pets will have an unexpected surgery in their lifetime. So I think that's important to keep in mind. Like I said, with my cat, who's an indoor cat, I never expected anything bad to happen to him, and he's still relatively young, so he has years to have failed health and maybe potential other injuries with, you know, due to old age. I didn't expect him to have to get 5 teeth extracted. Think about the age of your animal, the breed of your animal. I know, you know, for example, there's Chihuahuas out there who are notorious for losing their teeth. So, you know, do your research on your specific breeds, on your specific pets, and make sure you're aware of what are common things that are hereditary within that breed that could happen. Because that can also help drive some of these costs. They can drive some of the decisions to go with pet insurance or away from it. But keep that in mind for your own unique situation. I also have some costs here that I wanted to run by you guys. Just now that you've heard how much insurance costs a year, roughly, in a month, just some costs of conditions and what I'm seeing in terms of average costs for dogs and cats. So I'll run through those quickly. And then I have just a quick scenario that will hopefully keep you guys thinking in terms of, for my own scenario, for my own pets, does this make sense or not? So cancer, the first condition is cancer. So the average cost of treatment for dogs is about $4,100 for cancer. For cats, it's about $3,800. Ingesting of foreign objects, it sounds ridiculous, but it probably happens more often than most of these on my list. For dogs, it's $3,500. For cats, it's $3,400. Diabetes for dogs is $2,700. Diabetes for cats is $1,900. A broken bone, which just, I'm sure it's very common in dogs, especially dogs that like to go outside, run and play. It's $2,700 for dogs and $2,300 for cats. A heart murmur, which I actually had a cat who had a heart murmur as well. We didn't treat it, but if we did, it would have been $1,400 for the cat and about $1,200 for a dog. Arthritis is about $700 for a dog, $500 for a cat. Dental disease is about $600 for a dog, $800 for a cat. A bladder infection or a UTI, $400 for a dog, $1,100 for a cat. Eye conditions, about $300 for a dog, $260 for a cat. And then feline kidney disease is $1,300. Obviously, that's only going to be for a cat. So keep those general costs in mind when you do run some of these numbers for your own situation. And let me just give you a quick example to think about. So suppose you've been paying for pet insurance for your dog for 3 years, and it's about $684 a year. So that's about $2,052 so far in pet insurance premiums that you've been paying. Suppose your dog ingests one of your toddler's toys, which ends up costing about $4,000 in vet bills, which is kind of similar to the cost I was just spouting off on average for some of these conditions. So if you have a $500 deductible, which is typically one of the highest ones you'll see, and a 90% reimbursement level, your out-of-pocket cost for the incident would be $850. So that's $500 for the deductible plus 10% of $3,500, which is $850. So overall, to look at the cost benefit there, so if you add the premiums for 3 years and the toy incident, you've paid $2,900. And $2. Without pet insurance, you would have paid $4,000 out of pocket for that vet visit. So essentially, you avoid paying $1,100 by having pet insurance. Again, this is a very specific single example of how pet insurance can benefit you, but also know you never know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen. So you really have to assess your own risk level. You have to assess what you're willing to, you know, what you're willing to pay for up front in terms of the unknown versus when it actually happens. And again, you know, think about what's common in your specific animal. Think about the age of your animal, the gender of your animal. All of those things will also dictate your premiums and what plans you actually can buy from some of these companies. So again, I wanted to end this podcast with just a couple of, you know, groups/companies that I've heard of and I've seen on multiple comparison sites that are, you know, kind of like the top three that I've seen. So the first one, and this one seems to be number one pretty much everywhere, is called Spot, like S-P-O-T, Spot the dog. I've been reading too many of my toddler's books. The second one is Fetch Pet Insurance. And then the third one is FIGO, and that's F-I-G-O. There's other ones out there. There's an ASPCA health insurance out there, or pet health insurance. There's a number of other ones out there. There's some of the big names like Progressive that offer pet insurance now. So again, you know, it's really catching on, and there's a lot of providers out there. But those were the top three that I kept reading, had, you know, really positive reviews, offered a lot for, you know, kind of a decent amount of bang for its buck. And they seem to be pet specific, which might be a better option for you guys anyways. So that's really all I had for today. Protect your furry friends and yourselves in any way possible, and really in the best financial way. So I hope some of those facts and figures will help you in the future to make some decisions around, you know, this topic. It can be hard, especially it like losing a loved one, or like seeing a loved one suffer. You don't want to see your pet suffer, and it's hard to make those decisions right during those times. You would prefer to have it all squared away before anything bad happens, as is, you know, most insurance, and as we want most insurance coverage to do for us, give us peace of mind. So with that, I want you guys to always remember, respect yourself by respecting your money. We'll talk soon.